Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God.
You guys may be seated, unless you want to stand with me. You know, that's cool. No, Elaine, you're not standing all service. Let's pray before we begin. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being awesome, Heavenly Father, and listening to our hearts. We hope to open up our hearts and our minds and hear what you need us to hear. Amen. All right. So, unfortunately, we're finishing Galatians. I'm kind of sad. That's the last logical pericope or logical chunk. The journey might have been extended, but we must ensure that we're preaching God's word correctly and properly. What God's word wants, what he wants us to say, not what I want to say or any of us. The last time we were in the book of Galatians, we learned some things that the world has taken and given it to its own flavor. We've all heard that we must help each other and it takes a village to raise a child, right? Yes, definitely, I agree. Kate's and I's little one definitely requires a village, if not an entire school. But the Apostle Paul was telling us, the people of Galatia, that we're to bear each other's burdens. It's okay to ask for help. We must set aside our pride and mindset that we have to do everything independently. One thing I've learned the hard way, and yes, very hard, asking for help is not weakness, but it's strength. Let's look at something most married individuals would understand. You tag teams with your spouse. One drops off the kid, another one picks up the kid. One cooks dinner, another one cleans up. One pays the bill, the other one reminds them to get a haircut. I know. It was a rough week. It still needs to get done. You help each other out because you have those burdens. One's wrestling a dog, or the other is just spending half the week tracking down product that got lost at work. On a side note, we know that God is putting us through the ringer when we study his word and gives us examples that might help others. For example, last Sunday, Sybil, I always say your name wrong, mentioned her struggle with her dentures. It took 19 months for her to finally be able to hit that comfort where she could eat properly with her dentures. And it's all hard for us who haven't been through that journey for her to realize how hard it is when you're having to blend your food in a food processor for weeks, months, and sometimes years. She needed someone to say, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You have to allow people to vent and to be angry with that aspect, but also realize, hey, this is not normal. Get a second, third, fifth, tenth opinion. We also know that anger, hate, and pride and resentment are more corrosive than coke on a battery acid, on your car battery. We also learned after that is we're not unique. You are not special. I know everyone got a participation trophy in school, but okay, Chuck, we're not going there. But we are all Flintstone. We are all messed up, nasty, gross, foul individuals. Some people in some circles realize that the Apostle Paul didn't sugarcoat things. He told it like it was. He would be blunt. Now, I have no biblical background for my next statements, But there are some circles who believe that the Apostle Paul is autistic. And the more I learned about him, I see it. There was no filter, and he saw things black and white. There was no gray. Either you are right or you're wrong. Either you ran that red light or it was green. There was no yellow that meant to go faster. That's what I was taught as a child. If when it's yellow, you just keep going faster. And stop signs in the parking lot don't count. There's a reason why we know I learned what not to do from my father. Point is, the Apostle Paul was using his gifts. He was different, but he was able to apply that to people. He didn't get a participation trophy or a pity trophy just because they were all doing wrong things. We all have sinned. And without the mercy given to us by God by sending Jesus to die on a cross, we deserve hell. You're smelly. You stink. Worse than I do after work. We could be sent to hell within the second of us being born. We're sinners. God's just like a parent who doesn't want to spank you. Who wants to spank their kids, really? The old adage, it hurts me more than it hurts you, did not actually resonate in my mind until I actually became a parent. But it would go against God's character if he didn't actually punish us for going against his commandments, his laws. We also learn that the biblical teaching is not a hobby. It's a calling from our Heavenly Father. Pastor Rich does more hours in his study than most CEOs. Most CEOs, you know, they're golfing by Friday. I don't even think Pastor Rich knows how to golf, but... Oh. See, I was wrong. I played military golf. Left, right, left, right. The thing is, the hard work of these individuals needs to be rewarded so they can provide their families. It doesn't mean they get to drive the latest Tesla Model X or Y or whatever it's up to. Or the latest iPhone 15 that's the same as the 14, but with a little modifications. Or a private jet. That doesn't mean that you get to be the Bill Gates of preaching. The last point we learned is that we reap what we sow in life. If we do bad things, we have to deal with the consequences. God might have chosen me before the very foundation of the earth, but if I murder someone or flee the scene of a car accident, I gotta pay the consequences. The thing that believers think that no one knows our Heavenly Father is the burdens, because you're hurting him. Just like peroxide on a cut that stings. Supreme being that gave breath to our lungs counts every one of our hairs. Some of us it's easier than others. But our Heavenly Father did that for us. So with great sadness, let's begin the last pericope. Verse 6:11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. The Apostle Paul says something that I initially thought was out of place, but makes sense. Considering his health and how busy he was, the word says, see with large letters, I'm writing with you my own. Of course, we don't know how bad the Apostle Paul's health or eyesight was. But I think of, you know, size 72 font on Word, where it's like if it got any bigger, it would whack you right in the face, where it's bold, block print, uppercase. It was important that he would stress that he was doing it himself. He didn't just give it to his lackeys, slucking the bags. He didn't dictate it to a voice memo. He stopped what he was doing while most likely struggling. And he wrote those people of Galatia. We have to understand that we're not saved by our works, but by the love of Jesus Christ dying on a cross. There are many times that the Apostle Paul was just signing the letters. He was saying to someone as they walked across the road, 1 Corinthians, Colossians, and 2 Thessalonians. There's no hiding that the biblical teacher had struggles and challenges, just like us. But he used God's strength to keep going. On a side note, I wonder how big those letters were. I have my answer from Harper Encyclopedia. Were they like giant caution or warning signs? You know, at work, I have this trash compactor. It says, do not put bodies in it, pretty much. And the signs are like this big. I was not the reason why they've had to put that sign on there. But he did it himself. That's how important it was. Verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Individuals that are trying to show you that they're good people, or sometimes they're putting up a mask called camouflaging. Now, bear with me. We've all worn Halloween masks, right? That's what masking or camouflaging is. If you're autistic, like myself, I throw myself underneath the bus. You have a mask that you wear at church or work. You can't hide how you are. You have to act a certain way or your favorite hangouts. How about a particular set of friends? And you act a certain way with John or Joe or Bob. You're trying to be the same face, that same outward appearance. You're hiding your special interests, the need for you to flap your hands, or need that you wear sunglasses or headphones. You're literally hiding another part of your body from people. Apostle Paul says in the first verse to show that you are good to others in their actions and deeds. You're acting like them, so you appear better or not weird. See, when we're singing, Chuck can be my witness, I always have my hands in my pockets because I want to drum. You know, I get into it, but it's a little distracting. Unless we had a drummer, but anyways. That's my way of hiding that. Or, you know, some guys sway. Here's the one thing that everyone will address. What if you're at a Christmas party and, you know, it's a company Christmas party. You're like, look at what my kid did. He did the honor roll or he did this. You puff yourself up. Try and make yourself look better. Or, hey, my grandchild's doing this. You know, he's the all-star hockey player. You want to look better. In our country, we have to admit, we're all burnt out and crispy. Amen? Okay. I'll say amen for myself. Thanks, guys. Most of us blame it on the pandemic. But really, we're hiding things so well from each other, and we have no support. We're so independent that, like, hey, we don't need each other. We do not reach out to others and tell them the straight truth. We have to figure it out that it's okay to ask for help. And that's something I struggled with for 30-something years. Last 6 months, God finally beat it into my head a little bit. Us redheads are a little hard-headed. I was waiting for a comment from mother-in-law. I do not know who I am because we mask ourselves. We as believers have to be different from the world. We have to take our worldly mask off. Are we just showing that mask to people when really, you know, you peel it off And you would think it has Christ-like skin? Or is it uglier than how some of us look when we first get up? Well, it revealed the demons and things that you have to deal with, your struggles, your trials, things you have to talk to others about or seek help with. It's okay. We're broken. We're messed up. We do not have to show the world and each other that we have it figured out. Early Christians were facing the pressure to be circumcised just to be called Christians because of the Judaizers. They were adding to Scripture. Judaizers were adding to the Word of God as they were the same to early Christians. They were saying, hey, unless you're circumcised and you face the payment, they're adding to Scripture. They weren't saved because they were circumcised or not circumcised. They were saved because of God's love and Jesus. They just were too hard-headed to realize it. Remember that no matter what it is against God's character, to not require payment for sins against Him. For example, if I don't pay our electricity bill at home, FPNL is going to shut me off, right? Eventually. Or, you know, I don't pay the water bill and City of Fort Myers says, okay, hope you enjoy bottled water. The life of Jesus in which was placed at our sacrifice was done because of us dying. Someone had to die for our transgressions. Either us or Jesus on a cross. Before we move on to the next verse, we have to remember something. The Apostle Paul said earlier in the book of Galatians 5:11. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. Remember, there's a reason why our Creator, Sustainer, through the Apostle Paul keeps drilling in these points. Just like Pastor Rich says, therefore, it's tying it from the current verse to the previous verse. We are not saved by our works or deeds. Wearing a cross, being circumcised, putting a wad of cash in the offering plate, going to Haiti, you insert whatever it is. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. The Apostle Paul tells the people of Galatia that they were called to have freedom from the law that was being placed. The Jewish individuals and the Judaizers were jailing people to the law, the rituals that they thought were required for their salvation. They were always saved by their faith, but they didn't see it. They thought they had to follow certain laws and customs so they could be saved. Might be hard for us to understand because some people don't have that kind of relationship with religious laws. But what is one thing you have to do no matter what in your life? People in general, as an adult, you're going to be entering adulthood pretty soon. You're going to get a wake-up call. Taxes. Taxes, eating, sleeping. These types of things, especially taxes, we are tied and required to. We're called to pay what's owed to our government, but they still take a huge chunk out of your check. I had a loader a few weeks or months ago, they kind of blend together, who he worked a whole bunch of overtime for me. He needed the money, and I'm like, okay, I need the help. So he worked 60-hour weeks, and he's like, I only made $20 extra. And I'm like, Are you, is your taxes coded as a single male? He's like, yes. Uncle Sam got his due. And he didn't realize that, I'm sorry. There's not anything I can do, man. Uncle Sam had to get what was owed to him. Now let's continue the example of taxes. Imagine that we didn't have to pay taxes. We were not instructed by God to pay what was owed. We were not told by our government, but we decided to pay our taxes even though we wanted to. We were given a pardon or relief to ensure this. Instead, we could use that money to help single moms or those struggling in our community, international missions. But because it was the old way, we still chose that path. We all have the same feelings about taxes. They're not fun, right? April 15th, we all dread it. Early Christians had the same beliefs with circumcision when it was not called upon and required for their salvation. Their salvation was covered in blood of the Son of Man. God in human form, born of a virgin, beaten to a pulp. Humiliated and treated like junk. Why would the early Christians choose to live like the Judaizers when they could choose the path of loving each other, taking care of each other? This is something constantly reoccurring. We all have struggles and challenges. We all get on each other's nerves. We say the wrong thing, but we carry each other's burdens. We communicate with each other. Verse 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Everyone knows the Apostle Paul is my favorite biblical author that God used. And I can't wait to pick his brain, not literally, that's just gross. I had to. No matter what he's been through, the journey that he's made, from the moment he's killing early Christians to the road to Damascus and meeting Jesus, he's reminding us that everything must be given to God. The praise, the good works. I was praising God when in that McDonald's drive-thru when I finally heard about that promotion. Yes, I was at McDonald's. Harper won a Happy Meal. Yes. The praise, the good works, the times where you want to hire a marching band and say, awesome, thank God for this happening. I got that A on that test. But if we look at the Greek word for boast, it's a basic expression of praise. But not in the terms of pride, but the terms of thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for everything you've done. The Apostle Paul is rejoicing in the sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross for our transgressions towards God. We have an injustice that we're committing each and every day when we're sinning, no matter if it's anger, pride, lust, murder, you name it. But God still loves us enough to cover that. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. But for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. We've all been given a second chance, where if you play Monopoly, a get-out-of-jail-free card. Our Heavenly Father has given us a get-out-of-hell-free card. We don't have to barter. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to make backroom deals like you do when I play Monopoly. Hey, I'll do this if you do that. You know, the unofficial rules of Monopoly. We all know them. We were chosen before the very foundation of the earth. God knows every hair on our head, our struggles, our challenges, what's going to happen, what has happened, every trauma, everything. He knows the exact molecules of the paint on the walls. Things that I wish I could explain to you guys that are inside my head that don't want to work. He knows those. He knows that when you talk to me sometimes, especially with scripture or pictures, I have it inside my head. You guys ever visualize scripture while someone's talking to you? You're like, oh, it's like the Jeopardy screen. We should be cheering for God louder and stronger and harder for anything. Stronger and louder than your football team, your hockey team, your grandkids, anything. Even the election. We should be praising God and singing His praises louder than when we're complaining about our government or inflation or what the celebrity did or this individual or that individual. All of it should be geared towards God because He's given us the Alpha and Omega. Everything. Because He is the Alpha and Omega. The world is spiritually dead to us because we've been chosen to be saved. We see God as a cop-out or someone to pray to if something's happened to or we want something. Oh Lord, please grant me that Mercedes-Benz. Did I say it right? Okay. You get the gist. God is not a genie where if I rub my Bible 5 times, I'll get exactly what I want. Galatians 6:15-16. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon you and upon the Israel of God. The Apostle God is clearly saying, as plain as day, that it doesn't matter if the believer is circumcised or uncircumcised. We have to understand, they came from the understanding that if you wanted to follow God, you had to follow the Jewish customs and laws and traditions and everything that it entitled. Those laws and customs didn't save them. There was a reason why there were 613 of them. I can't even think of 613 things to name. But yet that was God saying, you can't earn it. The coming of Jesus and Him dying on the cross changed everything. You didn't have to sacrifice your best calf to atone for your transgressions. The ultimate sacrifice of the Son of God washing away our sins. It was not a covering, but a washing. This was a new beginning, a brand new relationship that was just repaired. Just like when you make up with a friend from high school. And you're in your 30s. Things were new. You forgot about all those issues that were going on. The wounds and everything healed. And everybody involved is different. This was a turning of a new leaf. And the Apostle Paul is telling the early Christ followers that they did not have to follow the customs of the Judaizers. You don't have to be a Jewish follower to be a Christ follower. Verse 16, Paul has a greeting to all that anyone that is following the law of Judaism, and more specifically the rule of circumcision. He gives a blessing and greeting to them to have good health and peace. Even though they disagree, he's still wishing them good health. The last verse says something that speaks out. That says Israel of God. This part mentioning that not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. It teased it into Romans 2:28. For no one is Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor circumcision outward and physical. Sorry, that did not want to come out. Those that are actual linkage of Israel of God does not mean because God has chosen all of us for the foundation of earth. And the Apostle Paul wraps up the book in verse 17 and 18. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. The Apostle Paul is hinting and saying very bluntly that he's being persecuted. He's receiving mistreatment and receiving the same persecution that he was actually inflicting on others prior. Kind of poetic. He was the one doing it, and now he's the one receiving it. The last part of the verse states that he bears the marks on his body, which goes along with what we know, that he was not afraid to go from speaking the word of God to actually having the physical mistreatment of it. We as believers in 2023 have it easy. Right? If you think of the United States, even Pastor Rich said in Sunday school, our homeless people have iPhone 14s and big screen TVs. I don't know where they're getting the money. We're not going into that. But we have it better now than others in parts of this world. Think of the underground churches that are in China or Latin America, where we're not even allowed to know the exact location of where the church is or their name or any of those details because it's not safe for them. Spreading the message. The last verse of the book of Galatians is the ending or the farewell. This would be our version of have a great day. Or what I always say at work, have a great day and stay hydrated. Well, it's like 105 degrees in that warehouse. It gets kind of warm. The human author is ending the chapter with the same grace and love that our Heavenly Father has for us. So how do you wrap up a book that has so much? That was a challenge. What do you put on your hat or on your refrigerator list? The law doesn't save you. You can follow all the laws known to man and even make up some of your own. But the law was just meant to show us that we cannot earn it. The law doesn't save us. No matter what we do, no matter what we are or what we want to do, we cannot do anything to guarantee our salvation. It doesn't matter how much money you send into the church or the offering plate. If you work 90 hours in the church, which I had someone who actually worked so hard on one of his church's floors, waxing it, you could almost see the bone on his legs. Key thing is that we believers and humans can't do anything to gain our salvation. Circumcised, uncircumcised, it doesn't matter to God. It doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. We deserve death because we were tainted. Just like a bad Coke without the carbonation, or Diet Coke, since most of you guys don't like Coke. There are so many things that we could learn from the book of Galatians, but we know one thing. That no matter what we do, we fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus, the human form of God, died on a Roman cross for us. Beaten to a pulp. Jesus paid the price so we would not have to pay for our own transgressions. Let's pray. God, thank you for everything. You didn't have to send Jesus to die on a cross for us. We didn't deserve it. We still don't. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything you do for us. Because we deserve to be hot and somewhere toasty. But you've given us the mercy and the love. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.